Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Grabbed by Pierce, he does it himself, and the Red Sox win it. They sweep the Rays.
Suck on it.
Woohoo! 4-3, the final in 11 innings. Apparently we're hot.
Suck it!
Boston Celtics will defeat the Indiana Pacers 4-0.
Yay, Celts!
I'm just happy that a lot of guys on this team got to experience what a sweep feels like.
We're getting to Kyrie Irving.
That's why the Celtics are wearing all black. This is a true funeral game.
A man closeout game.
Ordinary Hayward.
I mean, I really wanted to win. And juices were flowing for sure.
Duck boats.
Closeout game.
But did he win the Tommy Award?
Final score in the game. The Boston Bruins 4, the Toronto Maple Leafs 2, and it will take 7.
The only thing that matters is game 7.
It's not the NBA. It's the NHL.
Everybody always says there's nothing better in sports than a game 7, and that's certainly true.
Anything can happen in a 7-game series.
Tell me something I don't know.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, so we've got two sweeps over the weekend, and we also have a team that is now extended. They stayed alive. They extended their series to game number 7, and they get to play their game at home. But that doesn't seem to matter in the National Hockey League, because it looks like if you're playing on the road, you have a better chance of winning than you do at home. So we're getting your temperature. What do you think? Celtics, you feeling better?
Let me give you a Kyrie Irving.
Yes, please do.
You know, he's now 16-0 in opening round. Playoff games.
It's pretty good. That's a pretty good number.
The only player since the NBA-ABA merger in at least 10 opening game round games without losing. He's never lost in the opening round. Ever. You know that quote right there about, like, it's good to have these guys kind of see what a sweep's like.
Can I just interrupt this one? Because I'll give him credit for this one. He deserves this one. Because he was by far the best player in the series, and it wasn't close. Would you say 16-0? I would say the first 15. I would give LeBron a little check mark for...
First 12.
He didn't do it without... Yeah, first 12. Right, exactly.
So, and then he also has the highest winning percentage in NBA history. You mentioned that earlier. It's 76.4%.
Again,
that's LeBron. The minimum of 50 games.
Yep.
And his, let's see, his playoff winning percentage is actually higher than Tom Brady. Who's at 75%.
So you're saying he's better than Tom Brady?
So why
would you not pick Milwaukee in 4, Lou? He's better than Tom Brady. Would you pick Tom Brady if Tom Brady were playing against the Milwaukee
Celtics
Bucks?
In 4.
So, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you said Milwaukee.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's over Milwaukee.
Oh, you're right. I probably do trust him.
I do trust him now. I think most of the problems, the issues they have, even though people love to bring up the stupid stat, they're better without Kyrie Irving. It might be the dumbest thing in all the years we've been doing sports talk in this town. There have been some dumb topics. That might be the dumbest of them all, that they're better without Kyrie Irving. Please. Mm-hmm. One of the 10 best players in the game right now. They're not. And the Bruins have that game tomorrow night. We talked about who has more pressure on them. So I think that's a no-brainer, too. It's all Toronto. There's an awful history. The history is like the Red Sox pre-2004. They always lose the big one, and they always lose at the TD Garden.
Well, that's the one I don't know what the hell to expect in this game. You know, I mean, they're both, 1-2 at home. Like, home ice doesn't matter.
No.
It's all about, like, who lost that last game. So you look at it and say, well, Toronto will come out and look better because this is how it works so far in this series. But it's a game 7. So... You know, can you dictate what you want to do on your home ice? You should be able to, but you weren't in game 1. You weren't in game 5. So, I still feel the history. Toronto, I think they squeezed it a little bit. And I think the Bruins, we said before, I think I had the Bruins in 7, and I'm going to stick with it.
All right. Jeff's in Rhode Island. He wants to talk about the Bruins. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Jeff.
Good. Couple things. Glenn, you make a couple of good points about the pressure with the Bruins and Toronto, and I agree with you. Toronto's got more pressure, but I really truly believe that the Bruins they got to play defense. And I like Glenn, you made that point. They played great defense last night. If they don't step up and give these guys open space, they're just going to skate all around them. And you give Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews a chance to score on Rask. Those guys are just too good and too quick. But that's my feeling. I really think they need to be aggressive and play hard. If you let them get two goals on you, it's hard to come back. That's my opinion. I got my 11-year-old son over here as a hockey player, and he's going to give you a couple pointers.
Okay, we can't do the 11-year-old, Jeff.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, we
can. It's all right. It's all right.
Okay.
I'll let you.
No, it's all right.
You pass it along to him, okay?
Tell me, say good luck.
Yeah.
Good
thank
luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Game six is the best they played. Corrali coming back looks comfortable. Fourth line, you like that. DeBrus get involved, you like that. The Stars, again, Marchand checking in. Can they do it again? I mean, that's all. You just haven't seen it in back-to-back games from any one of these two teams.
That's the problem. I would say you kind of bet against it because you're looking at it saying, well, they came out and did exactly what they needed to do. Okay, gave nothing easy entering, exiting the zone. And guess what? They won't. I don't think they'll do it back to back because they haven't in the series. Why should I believe
it? So you think they're going to lose now?
No, I got them winning. I got them winning this game. I just think they're a better team, so I've got them winning. John's in Mattapan. Hey, John.
How you doing, fellas?
Good, Big John. How are you today? Sound like a little down. Why are you a little down? Your team just swept a playoff round.
Well, you know, Big O, I got to be honest with you.
Oh,
you
John.
Have been trashing these fellas pretty much all season. You know?
I've not trashed them.
Well, hold on.
Picked them to win 63-64 games.
No. I understand you said that, and I'm not saying, but to call them a dumpster fire, Big O, without Kyrie, that was just way too.
I don't remember that. Did
you,
I say
Big
that?
O. Come
I
on, you did. Know. That was below you, Big O.
No, John, I think it probably was when you or one of the other Green Teamers were calling up to tell me that you didn't want Kyrie back next year.
I never said that.
Okay,
Big O.
I'll blame it on one of the other Green Teamers.
Big O, if you'll allow me.
Kyrie's a hell of a player. He really is. He does Big so O. many things out there. But go ahead.
Big O, if you allow me, I will state, as I will say, I've always said that it's always been and always will be my hope that not only will the kids be back, Kyrie will too. When they sit in the room together, Big O, it's my hope that when they come to realize what power they have amongst themselves and what they can do, that'll be enough in and of itself to convince our man Kyrie to stay. Now, let me just say this, Big O. I saw him after game three. They did a lot of work on his right hand in game three, his right wrist.
Yes, I noticed that.
He front rimmed a lot.
Right.
In game four, Bill, and he took a very serious blow to the chest and the jaw. And after that, he kind of disappeared.
Broke his jaw.
Broken jaw, probably. Yeah.
I don't think he broke his jaw, but he took a
I don't know, Big O thinks.
But he did. Big O? He has had a hand problem. You're right about that. Here's the good news, John. He's got a whole week to rest it up. Not playing for a week.
Here's what's making me upset, Big O.
Big O.
Put this in the calculator.
Big O.
I called up and I said, Baines is coming back, and you guys are like, oh, big deal. It is a big deal.
Big O.
When they said, you know, you can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Big O.
When you put down all of these statistics, you're talking about the Celtics and the Bucks, la, la, la. Baines and Horford, I think, played a total of, you guys get out the numbers. Don't kill me on the numbers. It was like 43 minutes.
So the point is that Baines helps him out. I agree with you. He is.
The guys that are going to be on the floor.
Big John?
When they come, what?
I think everybody, every Celtic fan or anyone that has watched any of this season realizes that they're a different team when Aaron Baines is on the court.
Yes.
And how Horford's able to move over.
Yeah.
Everyone has acknowledged how important Aaron Baines is.
Yeah. He's physical.
As well as John.
Yeah.
Big John.
You, Big O.
Puts the body to him. There's no question about it. Yet, on the other hand, I'm looking at what's happening in Detroit. Has anybody seen Andre Drummond? I don't think they've found him yet. Have they found him? They haven't found him. He's lost. They can't find him.
Big
and he's a pretty good player. And he's disappeared. Here's Jay in a car. Hi, Jay.
Glenn, how we doing?
Good, Jay.
Hey, man, I grew up listening to you and Jerry Seasting, man, but...
Oh, sorry about that.
I've lost a lot of credibility, man.
You're an Indiana guy.
You sure have.
Detroit's a better team than Indiana. You know, like... And then you're discrediting the Celtics for sweeping Indiana. Like, they don't have NBA players.
That's what we said.
They got Miles Turner. You know, they got Tyree Gavin. They got Sabonis. You know, they're a legit NBA team, you know. And then you're over here just discrediting...
Did I say they weren't a legit NBA team? I said if they did not have Victor Oladipo. I do not believe they would have made the playoffs.
You're not
giving
the Celtics enough credit for sweeping, for sweeping and moving on to the next round.
No, that's Sean Grandy's not giving them credit. That's the problem.
Big O, name me the starting lineup for the Pistons. You claim that Detroit's a better team than Indiana. How is that?
Let me give you the Pistons number right now since the All Star break. Okay,
name the players.
Hold on, big fella.
What do you have there?
I know who the players are, but hold on. Detroit is 15-11 since the All-Star break.
Wow.
Orlando's 15-8. 15-8. Brooklyn is 12-11. You know what Indiana is from the All-Star break?
Yeah.
What are they?
They're probably a 500 team.
They are 10-14. 10-14. Now, you tell me that is a good record, second half of the season. I'm not sitting here telling you that Detroit is great, and clearly Detroit losing Blake Griffin for three games was a big part of that.
No, you're over here, discrediting them. The Celtics, they just swept the team.
Nobody listens to a word.
You're saying that Detroit is a better team.
I swear to God, they're not hearing anything that we're saying.
Take the two rosters.
I swear to God, am I speaking French today? I've heard that's happened, that people hit their head like on a fall down or something like that, and then they wake up and they're speaking like a foreign language. I don't know how that happens. Am I doing that today? Is that possible that's happening? Because, Lou, are we really just destroying them? All we're saying is I think Milwaukee is a better team.
I think what we're saying is if the Celtics played the way they did in these four games, they might get swept by Milwaukee.
And how is that unfair?
We don't think Indiana's a very good team. We give them all the credit in the world for winning four straight. At least I do. Okay? They won four in a row. Good for them. They did their job. But it depends. All these guys, I think, believe in the team. They believe that they flipped the switch. And I'm just saying, I think it's fair to sort of wait and see once they play a good team. To your point, Indiana, they were not very good down the stretch. And this, we had this guy, Brian Scalabrine, you might have known him, played in the league a long time, said that if Oladipo wasn't on his team, they're not a playoff team.
Very negative.
So, and they did not have him on the team. So they're not a very good team, that's all. And they have to play better if they expect to beat Milwaukee or win a couple of games against Milwaukee.
That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying. I'd like them to win the series. I think they're going to lose the series. By the way, you should take it as a positive. I think it might go seven games. How's that? How's that? Now, if it's a short series, then we're in real trouble. Let me take one Red Sox call, because I'm dying to hear somebody with the Red Sox this weekend. Here's Nick in Boston. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Big O, what's
good.
Up?
What's up, Nick?
I just had a question about the Red Sox. I know you're just talking about the Celtics and how they swept the series, but it didn't feel that convincing. It stayed pretty close. How do you guys feel about the Red Sox sweep? Do you feel the same way about that, where they got the sweep, but it was kind of lucky because the games were close, or do you feel like this is the beginning of them starting to turn things around?
Well, the difference is they played a team that's the best in the American League. I mean, that's the difference. They played a team that's playing very good baseball. And, they coughed up the lead in each one. They had the lead and they coughed it, but they grinded it back out. So, for the Red Sox, to me, a sweep, that's huge. Rather than winning two out of three, you lose that game on Sunday, you gain a game. Now you gain three. That's what you have to do now. And you got new Detroit coming to town. You got to get right. We said it before, going into Tampa, the next 20. Well, they started off 3-0. They got to get back to their record. They got to win some games, which is what they did. It's different.
It was better than the alternative, I'll give you that. Five takeaways from a weekend that might have finally turned around the Red Sox season by John Tomasi. Whatever happened to him?
Oh, he's over there at NBC.
Oh, is that where he is? Yeah, I was wondering where he was. Number one, they beat a good team that played well. Yes, I will give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Michael Chavis brings energy. Yes, he does.
He had
a big double in his first game, and I would say, he did bring energy to that lineup, yes?
Yeah, and I think overall, just in three games, they coughed it up. Barnes gave up a couple solo shots, but they came back and they did little things, whether it was drawing walks, putting a nice bunt down.
Sack fly.
I mean, everything.
Back to back,
it was just, Mookie hits a bomb. So, I mean, it was, It felt a lot better starting pitching.
Vasquez
threw the ball well.
Pick off at first base.
Everything.
Big play.
Little thing.
Number three, Mookie is turning a corner. I would say yes. I would say yes. He looked a lot better. Number four, it looks like we have a closer. Tomasi, I'm not buying this one yet. Because you had both Brazier and you had Barnes give up big home runs late in the game. I'm not ready. I'm going to buy that.
Well,
number
Barnes, Brazier last series.
Yeah.
Barnes, I don't think Brazier's a closer. I think it's matchup. Brazier could get the eighth inning tonight, you know, tomorrow. And Barnes could have the save.
Yeah, but that's by design, right? That's what they, whatever the lineup.
So they don't have a close. They still have two guys. Yeah. They have an eighth and a ninth inning guy.
Right. Number five, a series win. I would give you that. Tomasi, you're right about that. Steve is in a car. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Glenn. Steve.
Yeah, Lou. How you doing?
Good, Steve.
Good. Couple of things, Glenn. You know, I mean, I've been listening to you, and I called in last week, and I couldn't get through. You started talking baseball, but you have been down on the Celtics of this Indiana series. Look, I'll grant you this.
Hey, Steve. What did I pick the series?
Let him go.
But I just want to say
this. Let him go.
No, you picked the Celtics, but
I picked them in five.
You picked them in five. I didn't know you picked them in five. But
picked them
in
five.
What I'm trying to make is that you've been trashing on them because Indiana's not a good team. I agree. Without Oladipo, they're not a good team. But the other side of it, Glenn, they did what they had to do. They won the series. Did they look great? No. But they got it done, bottom line.
Do you agree with us?
Milwaukee's going to be a task. Come on, let's be honest. They're the best team in the league. And
Steve,
so find an answer for,
Steve, yeah. Do you realize that you just said exactly what we've been saying?
You're
now
trashing
for the last
Celtics,
three and a half
Steve.
Hours?
I'm disappointed in you.
No, I'm not trashing. I love the Celtics.
You just said Indiana's not a good team.
Hold on, Milwaukee's
and they won four games, and it wasn't pretty, and they didn't really impress you all that much.
So the exact same thing we're saying, Steve.
What I'm saying is, Lou, you know they're going to have to work their butts off to beat Milwaukee.
Yes,
we said that too.
They might do it.
We said they had to go like a couple levels up.
But you give them no chance, Glenn. You give them no chance at all.
I didn't say that either. I gave them a chance. I said that. Are you listening to me?
I am.
If they play about two levels up where they're playing right now, they can win the series.
I give them no chance.
Because they're talented. I thought it to be. Oh, my
God. Two levels. What's two levels? What do you mean two levels? What does that mean?
Oh, they can't play anywhere. Like, you can't have 16 or 17 turnovers in a game. You can't shoot at 44%. Yeah. You can't shoot it the way they're shooting right now. Come on.
Right.
You can't make the mistakes they're making right now. No, well, this is not good enough. Steve, what did you pick him in the Pacers series? How many games do you have him in?
I picked him in five or six. You know, I think
six?
Indiana,
you're negative.
Indiana was number one in the league in defense, all year. I'm not negative. I pick him to win. But the point I'm trying to make
me too.
You never know.
You picked him at seven. Whatever.
They could be finding it right now, and it could be the perfect time to go in. And Milwaukee's going to come in after the Detroit series soft because they had no.
Milwaukee's not coming in. That's the problem, Steve. You screwed up in the regular season. You're going to Milwaukee. They're not coming in. I would feel much better. I said that three times today. I would feel much better if you're right. If Milwaukee ends tonight and then comes to Boston on Saturday, I would feel much better. Nope. You're going to Milwaukee, and you're going probably for a game Saturday or Sunday, and then you're going to hang around because game two will probably be like Wednesday because that's how the NBA runs it. That's part of the problem. They don't have home court advantage in any of this stuff. Jim is in Connecticut. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, Jim.
Well, I just think the Celtics, you know, they played the regular season out. It really doesn't mean that much, and it looks like, you know, last year they didn't have Kyrie and Gordon going into the playoffs, and I think they got to, you know, I think they're coming alive right now. I know Indiana's not the greatest team in the world, but, and then you're missing Marcus Smart, too. So if he could, somehow they can get by the series, they can get Smart.
Okay, can I bring one up, because I want Lou to hear this one, and I heard callers saying this. Not on this show, thank God. It's a plus that they didn't have Marcus Smart, Lou. Because they've taken a guy off the floor, and it's giving more guys to get into the flow of the offense. This is a team that averaged 99 points a game against the Pacers, okay? The team they're playing averages 120. If you do the math, that's not a good number if you're doing the subtraction. You're telling me.
I think this is where you lose Marcus Smart.
Oh, you think?
Is killing you.
Oh, yes. In this series?
I mean, everybody should believe that.
Huge.
And I think he helps you. As bad as he is offensively at times, but he gets Kyrie off the ball. So I think I think he hurts you. I mean, all the stuff you're saying, Jim, I mean, I felt that way 5-6 months ago. Unfortunately, I've seen them play. And I can't say that it just clicked because they beat Indiana in four games.
I understand, but I'm just saying, I think they found their groove, and I think it's going to go seven. And I just, I don't know, anything can happen.
What did you just watch in these four games, Jim? Found their groove. They were in a dogfight in the fourth quarter of every one of these games. What are you watching? Here's the other one.
They didn't take Indiana that seriously.
So now they're going to wake up on Saturday or Sunday and take Milwaukee seriously.
Well, I think they're going to turn up their game a lot more than when they played Indiana. Yes, I do.
Okay. I love the optimism. I don't know where it's coming from. The other one, too, is the bench played well in their game yesterday, Lou. I'll give them credit. They got a lot of bench points. But now suddenly I'm hearing from people that they have a better bench than Milwaukee. Has anybody watched Milwaukee's bench this year?
No, it's the bottom line. No one has.
Milwaukee's bench, especially if Brogdon comes back this week, which apparently he's going to, now suddenly you're not going to have to go deep in that. I don't think Gasol's coming back, but you're not going to have to go as deep in the bench, and their bench has been really good. I don't get it. I'm missing something here.
Go to Derek in Rhode Island.
Derek is in Rhode Island. Hello, Derek.
Oh, my God. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Derek.
If I have to listen to one more person putting words in your mouth and coming up with the wrong facts that you guys are talking about, I'm going to jump out of my car. This is like, they just making stuff up all over the place. Oh my God.
Well, at least we got the last two callers to admit that the last guy said they took them lightly and they got to play better. Because a lot of people feel like they can just play the way they played against Indiana and beat Milwaukee.
Yeah, and Glenn, I think you said they have to take it up three notches or something like that. That is absolutely accurate. They are not going to stand a chance playing against Milwaukee, you know, the 85-86 Celtics.
Yes, best team ever.
And, not a chance in hell. So, and I also think, Kyrie... You know, at the end of the game yesterday, all the reporters, the media, went right up to Gordon Hayward, and they wanted to have a word with him and talk to him, and Kyrie just left the court. And I think that went right up his butt. He wants to be the star.
I'm not buying that.
I don't know. I think he's going to come out.
I've got to tell you, I think he's a terrific team player. I don't know where this is coming from. There are nights that you need him to score 37 because, contrary to what a lot of Celtic fans think, you don't have consistent players every single night. Tatum is a terrific up-and-coming player. He can't do it every single night. Okay? Jaylen Brown, same thing. Can't do it every single night. So, some nights, you need to get 37 out of Kyrie. He needs to take it over because other guys, you can't get enough guys on that team that can score. And then other nights, if they're overplaying him, if they're constantly trapping him, if they're trying to keep the ball away from him, which we did see Indiana do quite a bit in this series, what is he doing? He's setting everybody else up because they're wide open. That's a team player. He rebounds.
Nights.
He passes.
Like Tatum,
he's now defending. You're
like,
crazy.
Like the
he's
game
great.
Tatum at 26 and it was just he and Kyrie the whole time. Like Tatum... We'll have those nights. We're in the fourth quarter, and even in this series, probably. You know, he'll feel confident. You know, maybe even Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Al, whoever it is. But on nights when people are a little bit skittish, a little scared because it's on the road, that's when Kyrie takes it all off of their shoulders. Like he just does his thing. He's Kyrie Irving. He's consistent at home, on the road, all those sort of things. I thought that quote from Kyrie when they won two games, they had to go on the road. And he was saying how it's still basketball, the rim, that whole Hoosiers line, right? It's just the games, the same game. But when you go on the road, you got to get past that fear. You know, that fear of doing it on the road with a crowd that's against you. And that's the difference. Guys like Kyrie don't have that fear.
Right.
Some of the younger guys feel it. And they tighten up a little bit. And Kyrie, that's where he helps.
So here's where I'm not understanding it. And again, I apologize if I'm speaking a foreign language today. So we're getting all of these callers who are calling up who think that you and I are absolutely crazy if we think this is a very difficult series against the Milwaukee Bucks for the Celtics to win. And that we give them credit for winning in four against Indiana. But this is a whole new animal that you're going to face this week. The same people seem to be concerned about Kyrie Irving. He's the one guy they're worried about. I don't get that part of it. He's the one guy that I have no concerns, no worries about. And you've thrown the numbers out there about where he is in playoff games and first round. And what are we talking about here? So you love the Celtics' chances of beating the Milwaukee Bucks, and yet you have questions about, by far, the best player on your team.
Yes.
What are we talking? What are we doing here?
Yes, the best player in the series.
This is crazy. This is crazy.
It's all right. It's good.
Unbelievable.
We got here's the good news. We got a whole week. A whole week.
And that pisses me off, too, with the NBA. I mean, it's ridiculous they don't play until... Imagine if they don't play again until Sunday. How stupid is that?
I know. I mean, can if they win tonight, can we please play this on Saturday? I guess once you get to the weekend, what the hell's the difference?
Richard's in Rhode Island next up here on EEI. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Rich?
Not much. I just want to talk about the Red Sox real quick. I think it was a hangover. I think that was the problem. And I just want to say one thing about the Celtics. We both know they have no shot to win it all. So can we stop talking about them? They struggle with Indiana without their best player. There's no way they're going to go to Milwaukee and beat the Greek Freak. That's it. They have no shot. There's no shot in Milwaukee.
Well, they have a shot. See, I disagree with that. Now you're going. Now you don't like them, or you're going overboard the other way. But they have a shot. I'm not saying they don't have a shot in this series. They've got plenty of talent, but they can't play the way they played in this Indiana series. And I think there are a lot of fans out there that are pleased with what they saw in the Indiana series. I'm pleased that they got four wins. I'm not excited about the way they played.
I mean, do they have a shot? Yes, they're showing up and they're playing in the game. But I think it's a Western Conference League. Houston, Golden State.
Well, wait a minute. Winning the whole thing's a different story. I don't think Milwaukee will beat Golden State either.
Right. Probably not. But I'm saying I really don't – I can't see the Celtics going to Milwaukee and even winning the game. So say somehow it does go seven, they're going to lose in seven. That's just my opinion.
All right, well, that's not having
shot. You went from having no chance to going to a game seven. I mean, that's kind of drastic.
And Kyrie still sucks.
I mean, if you have any series going to a game seven, what you're saying is a toss-up. Even though you're on the road, you're slight underdogs, right? But the fact that you think you can win three games against Milwaukee, which I'm not sure you can win two.
Right. Ray is in Boston. Hey, Ray. Okay, I'm pushing it over and over. Thank you, guys. Ray's in Boston. Hi, Ray.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys are surprised that Celtics fans are calling up, and you guys you've been mocking the Celtics for since Thursday. You guys told us that the Bruins were in better position at 2-2 against Toronto, and that the Celtics were not, being up 2-0 against Indiana, because it's only Indiana. It was two ugly wins.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. None of us had any fear.
Are you guys going to admit that you were wrong, by the way?
Ray, what the hell did you just say?
He just made this all up, Ray.
That we said that this Bruins... Hold on. Ray. Slow down. I'm trying... You tell me if I'm correct. You're telling me that we said that the Bruins tied 2-2 in a better situation to win their series than the Celtics, who were up 2-0?
No, we didn't.
You're lying. You're a liar.
Who would ever say that, Ray?
You guys, you did. You tell me.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
You also just said that the Red Sox sweep in Tampa was quote unquote huge, but you want us to think that a 4-0 sweep of Indiana is ho hum because why is just Indiana in the playoffs? Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because Tampa's the best team in baseball, and Indiana sucks.
Are we not in freaking April? We're in April.
They're 6-13. They're playing a team. They're eight games back.
We're in April.
All right, Ray. Ray, okay. Call
April,
Jesus. Oh, my God, Ray.
You're making stuff up. I get it, Ray. You're a great Celtic fan, okay? And you bleed green, and I get it. No, Ray, I get it. Okay. I respect the fact that you love the Celtics and you're a big, huge fan. But what you're doing is, if anybody says anything at all, that maybe your girlfriend is not a 10, maybe she's an 8.2, you're getting all worked up to the point where you're calling up and you're making stuff up.
I'm not making stuff up.
Yes, you're making stuff up.
Okay, let me just say two last things.
You're making stuff up.
Two last things, please. First of all,
I'm going to fill in the blanks. Ray, here's the thing. You were confused, okay? You were confused because before the playoffs started, when we thought Tampa Bay would probably beat Columbus, did we maybe utter the words that the Celtics have a better chance getting past the second round than the Bruins? Maybe. Because we just thought that Tampa Bay was unstoppable. We were wrong. But nobody in their right mind would ever say that the Celtics up 2-0 against Indiana and the Bruins, who are tied 2-2 to Toronto. The Bruins have a better chance of winning in the first round than the Celtics. Celtics could... Who would ever say that? It was never uttered. And yes, that beating Tampa Bay and sweeping them was more impressive, okay, than what the Celtics did against Indiana, a team that they should have beat.
Yes.
Because the team's 6-13, they're 8 games back of Tampa. And if they lost 2 out of 3 or got swept, you're talking about, is the season already over?
So what he heard is, after the first 2 home games, I certainly didn't sit there and say, oh, this is great. The Celtics are playing phenomenal. I didn't change my prediction. I had them winning in 5. I thought Indiana would be able to maybe steal one, because they almost stole one in Boston. And I figured going home, I had them in 5. Wow. 5. Okay? I did not think this would be a difficult series.
Ray's very
confused. Before the season began, all I kept on telling you was, Indiana sucks. They play their heart out. They work at the defensive end. I love their coach. Nate McMillan has got them playing their ass off. They're just not good enough. That was what we said. And now you're making it all up because you're hurt that we might not be sitting there all aboard, that the Celtics are going to go to Milwaukee and they're going to sweep the Bucks. 617-779-7937.
Where's
Fauria? Oh, we need him out.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fauria right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
No, they're looking at, we're going to screw this up again.
The pressure's on the Bruins, I think, because they look around the rest of the NHL. They are the best team left standing. They would have home ice in the Stanley Cup final. They would have home ice next round. They would have home ice the round after that. And they'd have home ice in the Stanley Cup final. They haven't been to the conference final in, what, 6 years? So
2013, Chicago Blackhawks was the Stanley Cup final that
right,
year.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, so as far as winning 2 rounds, they haven't won 2 rounds in a long time, it feels like. And it's a lot of this same core, and they haven't been able to break through.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Dale on this one. Sorry, Rich Keefe. You were right about Giannis earlier in the day, but I'm going with Dale on this one. Far more pressure on Toronto.
I agree.
It's a historical thing. This goes back many years, the pressure of those fans up there in Toronto. You know, most of them, you know, the last time they won was, 67? So those fans up there, most of them have never seen the team win a cup. It's like Red Sox fans before 2004. Unless you were born in 1918 or before, you had no idea what it was like. And these poor bastards up there and the problems they have in winning Game 7 here at the TD Garden, the history there.
See, I get it. I know the Bruins, you know, had the better records. Game 7, a lot of pressure. You don't want to lose your home ice.
That doesn't mean anything this year.
This isn't about the roster. This isn't about the direction of organizations. I know you got an older core in Boston. They've won before. You would think they'd have Game 7 experience, all that stuff. It's just more of, they haven't won a cup since 67. It's hockey. It's Canada. I mean, you know, you've got it. It's all about the Maple Leafs up there. That's everything. I mean, I know they think the Raptors are cute. You know, and they like for them to win to be nice, but right. If the Leafs win, it's like, it's crazy up there. Playoff days, they take days off of work to get ready for games. It's all about the Leafs. I think it's more pressure on that team because of the fan base and the following.
I don't think it's close. I really don't think it's close. I will say this, though. If the Bruins lose this game tomorrow night, Wednesday, the Bruins fans will be pissed. Celtic fans, I think if they lose this series against Milwaukee, they'll make some excuse. Nobody's talking about Marcus Smart. Matter of fact, they're saying Marcus, the loss of Marcus Smart, that was a positive because more guys get a chance to get more minutes. I heard that one with a caller earlier. But I think if they lose this series to Milwaukee, Celtic fans will sit there and say, well, we didn't have Marcus Smart, which, by the way, is a legitimate gripe. Nobody's saying it beforehand, right? Nobody's saying it. But the Bruins fans, Wednesday, they'll be pissed.
Yes.
And especially if Tuukka has a bad night tomorrow night, they'll be pissed. Mm-hmm. Here's Cliff in New Hampshire. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So I wanted to touch base with you. I've been listening to you going back and forth with some of the, we'll call them homer fans, with the Celtics. And I just had a question for you guys. So yeah. When you say they were involved in a dogfight, what would you say was their major problem? Was it
turning the ball over, scoring?
Right. So you say turning the ball over, but you're not really giving Indiana enough credit because they were the number one defense in the NBA.
No, they weren't. Milwaukee was.
No, the team you're facing this week is.
Yeah. Milwaukee is.
Milwaukee was 11th.
Nope.
In points per game.
Milwaukee. Oh, no. Don't go upon points.
No, metrics.
You got to look at the field goal percentage. And well, Milwaukee's Cliff.
Down to points.
Okay, Cliff. Let's say they Cliff. Were even. I'm telling you, Milwaukee was better because I heard Gilroy do the same thing. I'm not going to knock Indiana's defense. They play hard and they defend. And McMillan has been great with this. They have to because they cannot score. So now you got a Milwaukee team that is as good as Indiana. I think they're slightly
there's
better.
There's other things. Yeah, point per what.
Possession, yes.
Field goal percentage, all these other metrics will tell you that Milwaukee is.
So let's say they're the same, Cliff. We'll go along with that, or Indiana slightly better. The difference is Milwaukee puts up 120 points a game, and Indiana puts up 99. So do you know how much better defense you need to play to make that up? And Milwaukee, you're going to find out, is a really good defensive team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not knocking their defense at all as far as the metrics go, but I mean, I just think, and also I was looking, I think that the Celtics just match up better with their personnel. I mean, look at last year. I mean, Butler couldn't even handle Rozier. Well, I mean, that's what I'm going by in the playoffs, right?
Yep.
It's a different Milwaukee team. You realize this is a different Milwaukee team. They play different. They have a different coach. Celtics, they have a different system. They're much different. This is a much different team. I think you're looking what you're looking back at, and maybe a lot of Celtic fans are. They're remembering that 7-game series last year against the Milwaukee Bucks, and they're sitting there going, we beat them in 7 games. You also had on-court advantage, and you never won a road game out in Milwaukee. But you're looking at it saying, that's the same Milwaukee team we're going to face, but we're coming into Milwaukee now with Kyrie Irving and with Gordon Hayward. Man, you got to look at them, and they're coming in with a much better team as well. They have a bench. They play defense now. They have a defensive-minded coach. Brooke Lopez, as I said, I think is going to be a factor in this series, right? And they're going to get Brogdon back this week. They're doing all of this without one of their better players. They're getting him back this week. Dennis is in a car. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I enjoyed listening to Ray banter with you guys. It's kind of entertaining and makes me appreciate the fact that they legalized pot here in Massachusetts. I was watching the game yesterday, and I got to tell you, I've never been a real big Kyrie fan, and I was really impressed with him yesterday. Not the way he moved or he shot or moved without the ball, but the way he encouraged his teammates during the game. I don't recall seeing that. But even when he was coming off the bench, he was greeting the guys coming off the floor.
Yep.
It was pretty impressive. Now, can they beat Milwaukee? They're the underdog, right, in Vegas?
Oh, yes.
So it's a good role to play a spoiler, but I was real impressed with Kyrie. It changed my attitude toward him a little bit yesterday. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Well, it's good. I think he's a great player. I think that they've definitely got to sign him for next year. I think they will. And without him, I think they'll be a shell of what they could possibly be. I mean, and you could see it, all aspects of the game. To me, the most important thing is being able to close out games at the end. You saw it with Donovan Mitchell, and I think Mitchell is a terrific player, but he doesn't have the credentials of closing games out. James Harden does.
You mentioned it. We spent this show off and on talking Celtics, and no one has brought up the fact that Marcus Smart will not be playing in this series.
It's a huge factor.
It's an enormous factor.
Sure is.
I mean, you know who he is.
Yep.
I mean, defensively, he only makes a game-changing play almost all the time in victories.
Yep.
You know, offensively, say what you want about him shooting, but the fact that you can get Kyrie off the ball, I think, obviously helps Kyrie, if you've been following it all this year. And I think it's a huge, huge loss, and I don't think it's one that I don't think they can overcome.
Yeah, the great thing about Marcus Smart is, forget about him starting or whatever, is that when some guy's going off and suddenly they're in a groove, and Milwaukee has those guys, so they use Giannis to basically open up the lane, penetrate, and he'll either take it to the hoop or he'll kick it out, and they have become a really good outside shooting team with Mirotić and Ilyasova. We saw him last year with the Sixers, and the difference is Marcus Smart, when one of these guys is going on a run, then Stevens puts him out there and says, Marcus, just shut him down. And you take that guy down, out, and you force Milwaukee to do something different. This is a much different team than the team the Celtics faced a year ago. I guess you could say the same thing for the Celtics. It's a different team, but are they that much better with the addition of these two guys? David's in Maine. David.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey,
David.
Good. Yeah, I'm going to try to distill it down for you.
Okay.
I think, you know, you give Giannis, let him get his 30. Middleton will get his 20. You get Bledsoe, you give like 14. So it's like you get up to like 62 points. The rest of the team might give you like 30, 35. But I think the Celtics, as they demonstrated yesterday, they've got seven players that can score in double digits. They've got more diversity, more depth. And the biggest thing they've got coming off the bench now is the big momentum. They believe in each other and they got confidence. Hayward having 20 points in front of his hometown crowd, he's now, his spirits are elevated. And he got everyone distributing the ball. And Milwaukee, I'm telling you, Lopez, he's a journeyman. He's been all over the place. He might have one game where he hits a couple of threes, but you can't count him on a seven-game series.
Okay.
Let's go get chased out of Phoenix.
Right. Okay. So what? So how do you stop this team?
How do you stop them?
Milwaukee. How do you stop them? I think you're crazy about Lopez. Lopez is not going to be the star of the game. Lopez will be somebody we'll talk about because he'll make some big plays. But go ahead. How do you stop him? So you stop. Yeah, you stop Giannis, right? That's what you want to do, right?
No, he wants to let him get his.
Let him get his 30s. I mean.
Oh, good luck. Okay, good. You can't let him take over a game. Good night. All right.
I take it back.
I'll take Milwaukee in four.
I mean, Giannis isn't going to get 50. Let him have 30. That's fine.
You're crazy. He's got the ball in his hands all the time. We're not talking about a big down on the block.
I would say Bledsoe, given what you saw last year, is an interesting one, right? Because, I mean, you saw him have some great games, and you saw him just Rozier just torture him. I mean, that was the whole Drew Bledsoe and everything else back and forth. But scary thing is, when you look at these three games that they've won, Giannis, I think, has played like 23 minutes, 25 minutes. Like, whatever, it's not, you know, he hasn't even played in these three games. He hasn't played 30 minutes yet, I don't think, in a game.
And Kyrie played, what, 37 yesterday? They don't have to play him much. By the way, Bledsoe's been great. The last three games in the series, 19, 27, and 15. Okay.
And Middleton.
And he's had rebounds and assists. And Middleton's been great. And then they bring guys off the bench now. This is something they did not have, Lou. Now they bring guys off the bench and they just fire up threes. And they all play off of what Giannis can do, which is he can split a defense. He can force you to collapse on him. You have to. And you don't know where it's going. We're not talking about a seven-footer who's an old-school seven-footer, which just goes with his back to the basket. This is a guy who brings the ball up a lot of times. A lot of times he's actually your point guard bringing the ball up the floor. Here's Andre down in the Cape. Andre.
How you guys doing?
Great, Andre.
Hey, Andre.
Good. I'm calling in because I think the sweep of the Pacers is important because it changes the narrative for the Milwaukee series. Celtics go from being a clear underdog to now having a puncher's chance. But beyond that, why that sweep is most important is because it made this series the most fascinating series in the NBA, more so than Golden State versus Houston, and here's why. Kyrie Irving is known for being an offensive dynamo, a closer, but some people think he's a loser in winner's closing. He's never won without LeBron, okay? And him being on this team, the issues that they've had, his inconsistency in terms of his commitment, you know, there's a question mark. Is Kyrie Irving really a top 10, top 5 superstar player, and now he has his chance going up against an MVP candidate, mano a mano. Okay, so if the Celtics win, you know, that's going to validate him. If they lose, here's why it's more so. It's how they lose, okay? Will Kyrie be able to take adversity in this series? And if it goes bad, okay, will he all of a sudden become the old Kyrie, the selfish Kyrie that we knew in Cleveland that got two good coaches fired, Byron Scott and Mike Brown? Who are we going to see from
you? Okay? Did Kyrie get them fired?
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You what? You yeah. love your team. You think your team can go into Milwaukee and win, but you can't stand Kyrie, your best freaking player. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What is wrong with all of you people? I love Celtic fans. You guys are idiots. God, I feel like Angry Lou right now. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's a great freaking player. You can't afford to lose him.
Kyrie got
He's the reason you won four against the Pacers. What are you talking about? Dopes. Complete dopes.
The proof is in the pudding, okay? Because now...
The proof is in the pudding? I can't talk to this guy anymore.
No.
The proof is in the pudding? What the hell is... MVP... What about the rest of the team? What about Tatum? What about Brown? What about the other guys? They're the ones that have to play on the road in big games. Kyrie is big on the road. He's got big balls. He'll go in on the road, and he'll play the same way he plays at home. The problem you have is a lot of the other players you have won't play the same way on the road because it gets too big for them, okay? And they start to wilt. That's your problem.
I like the Kyrie got those coaches fired comment.
Jesus, God.
Not LeBron. We always say LeBron, but now I don't understand. Celtics fans now want to blame it all on Kyrie, and they're going to blame everything on Kyrie, apparently.
God. Jesus, if they got their way, there's no Kyrie here.
I don't know if I can take a week of this.
We got a cute little team with a bunch of young kids. Oh, isn't this cute? What a cute little team. Oh, the engine that could, but they can't. Oh, jeez. All right, we got a great last call for you.
Oh,
it's coming up now. I mean, it's great. Trust me, this one is great. You Barstool stoolies are going to love this. But you can't stand Kyrie, your best freaking player. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Let's get a f***ing in.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car. Help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. All right. I think we've been getting prank phone calls for the last 4 hours.
The
I really
good news
get that
is you
feeling.
Got the whole week.
Yes. That's what I think it's been. But believe it or not, if you've listened to Mike Francesa lately on The Fan in New York, he gets more prank phone callers. It's almost like a badge of honor if you can get through and you can have yourself one of the prank phone calls. And Mike doesn't take any of it. He's going to be serious. He's not going to joke around. He's not going to play with it. So today, believe it or not, Dave Portnoy. Yeah, that Barstool sports guy. Dave Portnoy pranked Mike Francesa.
Dave in Boston, what's up, Dave?
Mike, big fan of the show. So last week I was listening, and weirdly enough, someone called. They said they wanted you to do a pizza review with Barstool Sports, and I'm the guy that actually started Barstool Sports.
Right.
So I heard you basically say pizza bores you to tears. You may not eat it, but we get celebrities all the time. You'd be a dream guest. I think we could make a pretty good team, you and I, picking a place you like and reviewing some pizza.
No, thanks. I'll piss. I really have, Dave, really, I have no interest in discussing pizza with you. I have to be honest with you. I mean, so what? Who cares? You would discuss everything you eat on the air?
Millions of people would die to know what you think is good pizza.
I've been doing this, as you know, a very long time. I think I know what works and what doesn't work. And to me, you know, pizza is... And listen, if you guys do it and it works, God bless you. You guys have been successful.
It's the universal language of love. Everyone would be surprised. I'd make a wager a million people would watch us eat pizza and say it's the best thing that we've ever done.
I would hope not. I mean, really, they got to find something that's better than that, though. Send me an invitation. I'll reconsider. But I really don't think the audience really cares what pizza I eat. And honestly, it's not like it's any passion of mine, pizza. I have to admit, now everybody eats pizza. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't. I'd say more people eat pizza than eat hamburgers. Many more, right? I bet you could find a lot of people who don't eat hamburgers, but they eat pizza. So I think it's the most popular food in the country. I really understand that. And there's a zillion different pizzas. I understand that. But, you know, as to which one I like and don't like, we got to have something more interesting to talk about. We have to.
Who cares?
This is a guy who said he had no desire to talk about pizza, then spent a minute after Portnoy was off the line talking about pizza.
Oh, I love my pizza.
Oh, Mike, lighten up.
That's good. They should do a little pizza review. He understands it's not part of, like, the show, right? It's just like a little bit they can put on. It only lasts a few minutes.
I don't think he knows.
Something on this thing called the internet?
I don't think he knows what Barstool Sports does. I think what he's doing is he knows they're popular, so he doesn't want to piss anybody off, so he's going along with it.
Right.
Do you think he knows what the pizza reviews are?
No, I don't think he knows. I think he knows. I heard of Barstool, obviously, but I don't know if he knows what they do.
This is America!
The thing is that when you get all these prank phone calls, wouldn't it be more interesting if he kind of played along with them and maybe pranked them back? Wouldn't that be a little bit more fun? Instead, it's almost like so serious about it.
We should talk to our big fella, Fourier.
Yes.
How much fun
yes,
they are.
Exactly.
How much fun it is to prank
How you prank all these people. Yeah. You can do this. We close out the program today. I wouldn't say on a sad note because people do get sick in their lifetime. And this guy is going to make a gallant fight with all of this, and he's certainly going to beat it. But Gary Tangway today came out with personal news.
Hey, guys. Big sports news day here in New England as the Bruins survive. The Red Sox seem to be turning it around, and the Celtics are thriving. But I wanted to share some personal news of my own with you that I've been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So my appearance is going to be changing. I have the hat on now because my hair is almost all gone. So the next time I'll be on TV, it will be completely gone. So I just wanted to give you a little warning on that. I'm under great care at Brigham and Women's and also Dana-Farber. And my cancer is treatable. So I consider myself to be very, very lucky. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts and critiques. And I'm sure you won't let up about my cockamamie predictions on Twitter. So, thanks again, guys, and hopefully our teams will keep it going.
I always thought he had too much hair anyway, all that big hair he's got. You know, this is perfect.
I actually didn't know anything about it. You know, so when he said he's losing his hair already, does that mean he's already been under treatment
for
some time?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's got a great shot. I mean, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is gets into the blood cells. The percentage of success and survival is huge, especially the two places that he mentioned, Brigham and Women's and Dana-Farber, two places where I've been treated. So I know the care that you get over there. So our thoughts are with you, big fella.
Yeah, we love Gary Bear.
And we love you, Gary Bear. And I know you're going to beat this thing. And I love the attitude that you're taking. You know you're going to, what is Danny Picard
you know, the
say?
Funny thing
gonna
is
kick
is
cancer's ass.
Yeah, Gary's going to be in recovery, right? He's, like you say, he's going to get through this. But he's going to continue to tweet and how quickly people will just turn on him.
No, they're going to love him now.
No. He'll still piss people off somehow.
No, he won't.
With his tweets. And he'll just get under the skin a little bit and people will forget.
No.
And they'll just start digging back at him. It'll just be like old days.
I think he's going to get a lot of love right now, and I don't know if Garrett Bear is going to be able to handle this love. And we send our best off to him. Last hour here of the program has been brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic. Here's the drill tomorrow. We got an afternoon Red Sox game now. It's a day-night doubleheader. Game's been postponed tonight, and so Lou's going to do the afternoon game. Then after the game, it's going to be me. It's going to be Lou. It's going to be Christian Fourier back from vacation. We'll take you up until the second game. So now the big question is, with no Red Sox game, can we spin the wheel? No? Dude, spin it.
Reamer.
Reamer.
Reamer. Double appearance.
Hey. Ah, we have one. Evan Drellick.
Hey, Evan.
Evan by himself?
Now, is this like a last-minute call? I mean, I'm guessing because I don't know where.
Had to come out of the bullpen.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, Lou, most of them are last-minute calls.
Now, wait, is he by himself? Is he by himself? Wow. Okay.
I heard him the other night after a Red Sox game by himself. I was out late driving. He was really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Late night, breaking down the game, screaming.
Joined by Bradford today.
Lineup is out.
Radio opportunity that Bradford jumped on?
What a shock, huh? Jesus, what a surprise that is. All right, we'll catch you all tomorrow right after the day game in the afternoon. And the Big Lug will be back with this as well. We're out of here, guys.
It's stretch drive, Chris. Let's go.
It's over. We suck.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.